Toronto, and it is number three. The house is number three. It's the only house on the pond, and so I'm going to write a cookbook called Walden 3, Peg. You have given me an idea. We will call our cookbook Walden 3, and I hope you'll provide some helpful suggestions. We heard from Mr. Salerno that crime does pay, and that does suggest that we have moved into a new epoch because I grew up in the age in which crime didn't pay. Speaking of loving thy label as thyself, did you know that the head of all the American armed services and armed forces, whatever, is General Bonesteel? A civilian. You don't often hear about him, but you can find it out in the New York Times if you look up the files of last year. General Bonesteel is the head of all American armed services, and he is a civilian. I don't think this has anything to do with the map here. But in all countries, they have jokes that are grievances, and in East Berlin today, the current one is this. Big Russian breakthrough in biology. They have cross glowworms with body lice, and now everybody reads Pravda in bed at night. You publishers have a big grievance. I haven't heard any funny stories about it, but it's a big grievance. You don't know how to get off the hardware hook and into software. Xerox is software. Information, electric information, and you're still in the hardware business. You can get a pretty good level on this ridiculous situation by remembering that an ordinary first-class letter coming out of any office costs $4.50, more than a good paperback. And you can pretty well measure where you are in terms of hardware, software, hang-up, when you realize that an ordinary one-sheet letter costs as much as a good book. Now, I don't have very much time. I thought I was going to have a full speaking engagement here, but apparently I've allowed 20 minutes. And I've got enough here for hours and hours, including an awful lot of jokes. But let me tell you a simple principle that you can all use in your business. When a fast form goes around a slow form, the slow one collapses. Any speed up in any part of your enterprises will automatically dissolve and destroy the slower parts of the enterprise. Put a fast rim spin around a slow one, and the slow one disintegrates. Put a satellite ring around the planet, and all arrangements on the planet disintegrate. It becomes garbage. Garbage means clothing. Look up Random House Dictionary and you'll find the fifth definition of club garbage is old nose cones and capsule boosters. The new clothing of this planet is that sort of garbage. This has nothing to do with the Container Corps of America, I mean corporation. The Container Corporation of America has provided us with a garbage environment of clothing that is colossal and staggering. But the satellite says a new garbage or climate around the planet are moving information at speeds that the planet cannot cope with and have created not a global village but a global theater. I no longer use the phrase global village. It's global theater now, and everybody out here and me too, we're all out to do our thing. Jobs are finished. Jobs are over. Role-playing comes in, hence sideburns and costumes. Nobody with a job would wear sideburns. He is playing a role. And you don't spell it R-O-L-L, it's R-O-L-E. Doing his thing. Doing your thing means involvement, whereas having a job meant simply having risen to your level of incompetence and settled down full security. The job era is finished, and incidentally, the Peter Principle belongs to 50 years ago. All humor, all funny books are automatically about past times. Pastimes are past times, always. Now, so when a funny book comes out, you can be sure it is nostalgic Like the Peter Principle, like Stephen Potter, one-upmanship, like Parkinson's Law, these all belong to the quaint lore of the 19th century. Now, the peculiarity of print, and I am a professor of literature full-time, I defend it right and left and center at all times. I consider it as the only origin of civilization and the only cause of civilization. And it resulted from only one alphabet in the world. There are not two alphabets. There is only one alphabet that creates civilization, and that's the phonetic alphabet. The Hebrew alphabet does not do this. The Arabic alphabet does not do this. The Chinese and Japanese letters or ideograms do not create literacy in any sense at all. Literacy consists in separating the eye from the other senses, creating Euclidean space, and creating all the illusions of rationality and uniformity and the continuum of existence. This is an illusion nourished by the Greco-Roman world only. No place in the world, no time in the world ever had this visual space except that nourished by the phonetic alphabet. Anything that undermines the phonetic alphabet and its dominance and its power of releasing the eye as the dominant organ ends civilization. There are lots of things better than civilization, but if you like civilization, that's the end of it. Civilization is a technical term based upon the dominance of the eye over the other senses. We live in an electric age which is non-visual and non-visualizable, and the chemical bond, as taught to us by Linus Pauling, Heisenberg, and others, is interval, resonance. The quantum mechanics boys have been telling us for 50 years, that the bond of being, the thing that holds the world together, is sound, resonance. There are no connections in matter. Nothing that can be called a connection, only resonance. Now, one of the things that the mechanics or the quantum mechanics people and the NASA people do not know is that resonance is a peculiar kind of space. I'm simply mentioning as a simple fact that the NASA people are 18th century types, pre-Jules Verne, pre-H.G. Wells. They live in a kind of nursery world like a yellow submarine. NASA is a very old-fashioned bunch, semi-literate, never been through the real course. Anyway, the stuff they put out is cheap science fiction. It's hardware. And it's thanks to their ignorance of literacy in its full sense and ignorance of auditory space. Now, the peculiarity of auditory space, and I'm simply challenging any one of them to come forward, any scientist at all. I've met them on their own ground many times on this point. Auditory space is a very peculiar thing, and we live in Echoland now. In a simultaneous, instantaneous, all-at-once electric world, that is Echoland, and that is auditory space. Auditory space has a very peculiar property. It is a perfect sphere whose center is everywhere and whose margin is nowhere. It is totally non-visual and non-visualizable. Our DNA boys and our NASA boys still try to visualize space, meaning they have no relation whatever to the science they talk about. However, I never make value judgments. I make probes. I poke away here and there and see what I can find. As I say, my own values are literary. My own values are entirely on the side of civilization. On the other hand, I don't live in that kind of a world, and so I do probe the world I live in, and it happens to be an auditory echo land. And it's full of yippies and hippies and beetles who've crawled out from under things like Kafka's bug in the Metamorphosis. One of the amazing echoes or resonances in the word beetles is Kafka's famous story, The Metamorphosis, the man who woke up in the morning and discovered he was a cockroach and tried to establish communication with his family in this unfortunate condition. Our TV generation are very much like that. They are beetles. They have crawled out from under the rug and discovered they have no means of communicating with their parents.